Welcome to the University of Virginia School of Law Semester in Review Newscast, a podcast highlighting law school news and events from the spring 2007 semester. I'm George Cohen.
And I'm Molly Bishop. Thank you for joining us.
The Supreme Court recently agreed to hear a case from the law school's new Supreme Court Litigation Clinic. The clinic's nine students drafted petitions on behalf of Louisiana defendant Michael Watson in the case of Watson versus United States. The court will decide whether Watson's purchase of a gun from a federal agent who wanted drugs in return warranted a longer prison sentence under strict gun laws.
Students working in public interest jobs over the summer will be getting a financial boost. 53 students received a Public Interest Law Association, or PILA, grant, which provides a stipend of $3,500 to $5,900. For the first time in the grant program's history, PILA offered awards to every student who sought one. Incoming PILA President Katie Schlieder spoke at the 25th anniversary celebration on April 9th.
The success of this program is owed to the individuals that offer their time, their money, and their hands to support the cause. The Law School Foundation matches all funds that PILA raises. Students contributed over 2,500 hours this year to PILA. And, as we all know, the faculty faithfully donate their time and their money to make our event successful. All these things together create opportunities for UVA students to serve the public interest.
Class of 2006 alumna Leslie Kendrick will clerk for Supreme Court Justice David Souter during the next court term. Kendrick is currently clerking for J. Harvey Wilkinson III, a 1972 alumnus and a judge on the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Kendrick will return to the law school after her clerkship to become an associate professor.
U.S. Solicitor General Paul Clement spoke about the Supreme Court docket at midterm during a Federalist Society talk in April. So far, key environmental and business law cases have dominated the term, he said, but several important decisions on cases ranging from campaign finance laws to school desegregation are forthcoming. This term is the first in which all the justices of the Roberts Court have served.
Probably the most significant case that the court has issued so far this term is the Massachusetts against EPA case, the so-called greenhouse gases case. And I say so-called not because I'm trying to take issue with the science of greenhouse gases, but mostly because this case, like many an important environmental case, is every bit as much a standing case as it is a substantive environmental law case. It is, in fact, both. But it may be that a few years from now, as important as this case is as a matter of substantive environmental law, it may be even more important as a matter of Article III standing law.
The law school's Black Law Students Association earned national acclaim for its numerous successful community service projects and events this year. The group was named National Chapter of the Year at the BALSA conference in late March. This is the third time since 2002 that the organization has been recognized as Chapter of the Year.
Classmates Matt Madden and Michael Scott won this year's William Minor Lyle Moot Court competition. They argued on behalf of a fictional defendant in a case that dealt with federal criminal sentencing in firearm statutes. Christopher Jackson won the Stephen Pierre Traynor Award, which recognizes the best oral advocate.
Several federal appellate judges visited the law school this semester. From the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, Judge Thomas Griffith, class of 1985, and Judge Brett Kavanaugh helped judge the moot court competition and spoke about their experiences on the D.C. Circuit at a Federalist Society event the night before. In March, Chief Judge Paul Michel, a class of 1966 graduate who serves on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, offered advice for students considering a clerkship. Judge Juan Torea of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit spoke at a Latin American Law Organization event on Supreme Court cases involving the status of Puerto Rico. Torea, who received his LLM from Virginia, is the first Puerto Rican appointed to a federal appellate court.
In my opinion, the insular cases display some of the most notable examples in the history of the Supreme Court in which its decisions interpreting the Constitution evidence an unabashed reflection of contemporaneous politics. The insular cases, in effect, translated the political dispute about the acquisition of foreign territories into the vocabulary of the Constitution, with the Supreme Court eventually echoing the popular sentiment of the day.
Up next, faculty news.
Law School Dean John Jeffries has been named co-director of the National War Powers Commission, a private bipartisan panel led by former Secretaries of State James Baker and Warren Christopher. Formed by the Miller Center of Public Affairs at the University of Virginia, the commission will examine how the Constitution allocates the powers of beginning, conducting, and ending war.
Before Brown v. Board of Education, the early civil rights movement explored ways to create equality for African Americans that have mostly been abandoned today, says law professor Risa Golubov. Her groundbreaking new book on civil rights history, The Lost Promise of Civil Rights, explores the fight for black economic and labor rights in the years leading up to the 1954 Brown decision, which forever set the stage for looking at race through the lens of integration in education.
My thesis is that Brown isn't only the end of an era of segregation, it's the end of an era of experimentation, and that before Brown, civil rights looked a lot different than they look today, and nobody actually knew what they looked like, and so both clients and lawyers, or potential clients and lawyers, were making up a lot of stuff, and they went in a lot of different directions, and that Brown is the culmination of one particular strand of that experimentation, and then Brown pushes us, just by its own momentum, by the tremendous victory that it was, pushes us in one particular direction, but in pushing us in that direction, we lose the other possible directions that had existed before Brown.
The book was published by Harvard University Press, and is available in bookstores and online now.
The law school made several new hires this spring. Law and economics expert Rich Hines will join the faculty this fall. Hines, a visiting professor from the College of William and Mary, taught contracts, bankruptcy, and corporate finance at the law school this year. Also joining the faculty are Daryl Brown, an experienced former public defender and current Washington and Lee Law School professor, and recent UVA Law School graduates Leslie Kendrick and Micah Schwartzman.
In other news, the law school named Music Today Executive Vice President Jim Kingdon, Director of the Law and Business Program. Kingdon, who received both his JD and MBA from Virginia in 1998, has extensive experience in issues at the intersection of law and business, from raising and managing a private equity fund to managing corporate strategy for a company that has logged $150 million in gross transactions.
I think that the program has a lot of opportunity to be meaningful to students that are pursuing careers in private practice through a traditional law firm path, or that are interested in applying their JD as a in-house counsel or in, you know, other positions in business that one might not traditionally presume are the normal path for a JD, but for which JDs are well suited to excel.
ABC News correspondent Jan Crawford Greenberg, who wrote the critically praised book Supreme Conflict, The Inside Story of the Struggle for Control of the U.S. Supreme Court, spoke at the law school on March 16th.
With Alito now taking Justice O'Connor's place and John Roberts leading the court, I believe that George Bush has succeeded, finally, where past Republican presidents had failed in turning the court to a more conservative direction. The president nominated two first-rate intellectuals, but also two justices who were collegial, congenial, very well liked by their colleagues, and very well liked already by the other justices on the court. That gives them an opportunity to have more discussions and build bridges and coalitions with their with the other justices. And I think we'll begin to see it this term when the justices are taking up some very explosive cases.
This year's conference on public service and the law brought Virginia Governor Tim Kaine to the law grounds. Kaine offered guidance on how to pursue a career in public service during his keynote address.
For those of you who are interested in public service, there are so many ways to do it. There are so many ways to do it, and that's an exciting thing. If you want to serve other people with your law degree, you will never be short of an opportunity to do it on any day that you practice law in a lot of different ways.
Other panels at the conference covered topics such as the humanitarian crisis in Darfur, the future of U.S. detainee policy, immigration reform, corporate responsibility, and affirmative action in public schools. This semester, the law school also hosted conferences on global warming, international law and terrorism, corporate governance, and sports and entertainment law.
First-year law students Jermaine Dunn and Dennis Barrett were the inaugural recipients of the Class of 1957 South Africa Human Rights Summer Fellowships, which provide a $7,500 stipend for students working for human rights organizations in South Africa. Several other law students and an alumna will be working in prestigious international and human rights law positions after the school year ends, including posts at the World Court, the International Criminal Tribunals for the former Yugoslavia and for Rwanda, Human Rights Watch, and the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Center for Human Rights.
India's booming economy and rich cultural heritage often overshadow deeper problems the country is trying to solve, several law students recently learned firsthand. The Cowan Fellows of the Human Rights Study Project journeyed to the country in January to investigate human rights issues, including terrorism, human trafficking, police corruption, the refugee crisis, and widespread poverty. The three-week expedition marked the fifth trip abroad for the student-run organization, which in past years has also traveled to China, Syria and Lebanon, Sierra Leone, and Cuba. Third-year law student Melanie Grout shared her experience at an event showcasing the trip.
I spent the last two semesters trying to research and understand India's anti-terrorism legislation, which is a topic I was particularly interested in because of my hope to eventually work in the area of U.S. national security policy and law and its many intersections with human rights. So I've basically wanted to examine the tension a country like India faces when it needs to, on the one hand, enact legislation that allows its law enforcement the tools it needs to effectively counter terrorism, and then the danger, on the other hand, of enacting legislation that itself violates, codifies, enables, or encourages human rights abuses.
That's all for this edition of the Semester in Review newscast. I'm Molly Bishop.
And I'm George Cohen. Thank you for listening. For more news and to hear full audio recordings of the events in this podcast, visit our website at www.law.virginia.edu.
Professor George Cohen is the Brokaw Professor of Corporate Law. He teaches contracts, professional responsibility, and agency and partnership. Molly Bishop is the director of the law school's Mortimer Kaplan Public Service Center. A former theater director, Molly also teaches public speaking classes at the law school. The Semester in Review newscast is produced by the Law School's Communications Department.